Good afternoon, listeners. You're invited to take a little walk back in time with me to a time of soda shops and penny candy, of neighborhood grocers and silver screen legends. Welcome back to the golden age of radio, and enjoy classic radio plays of a bygone era, reimagined here for you by the Alexander Radio Theater. And now the Alexander Radio Theater presents My Friend Irma in our annual Christmas special. But first, a word from our sponsors. Folks, are you searching for something seasonal for a certain someone? Well, look no further. You have only to pick up a box of Santa's sleigh suds at your local grocery store, and you'll know that you've got the perfect gift in hand. Santa's sleigh suds provide the smoothest, longest-lasting bath bubbles. Straight from the workshop shelves of the jolly old elf himself, these super sudsing bath salts come in six delightful holiday scents. Cinnamon, peppermint, orange peel, spiced apple, sugar cookie, and Fraser fir. You could mix them all together and you'd smell like, well, potpourri. What a treat that would be. So whether you're dreaming of silver trays laden with tasty holiday treats or envisioning the twinkling lights of Christmas trees on freshly fallen snow, you can find the holiday experience you're looking for in a box of Santa's sleigh suds. And now, My Friend Irma.
Well, Christmas is over, and I am thankful I am still in one piece. Why do I say that? Let me tell you what happened Christmas Eve at our little apartment at 8224 West 73rd Street in New York City. All was serene and quiet, except for my roommate Irma Peterson, who was reading,
"'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring. Ah, look! Jane! A mouse!"
No, don't get excited. It's lost. It's probably looking for Professor Kropotkin's room.
Gee, Jane, I've never been so happy on Christmas Eve. And that's because I have such wonderful friends. You and your new boyfriend Steve, Mrs. O'Reilly, Professor Kropotkin, and of course, Al.
Oh, by all means, Al.
Of course, I can't really consider Al a friend, because someday I'm going to marry him.
That's logical.
Jane, you don't know what it means to have a few good friends you can count on, especially on Christmas Eve, when you'd like to be with your family. But mine lives over 1,500 miles from here.
Irma, you never say much about your family.
Oh, Jane, there isn't much to say. They're just an average family like me. Perfectly normal people. For instance, there's Bertha Peterson, my younger sister. She's not as old as I am.
It figures.
And there's my brother, Ernie Peterson. He's engaged. To be married, of course.
Yes, of course. What about your parents?
I miss them the most. They were just like a mother and father to me.
You know, that happens in most families, Irma.
But gee, they're all in Minnesota and I'm here. But I'm not lonesome because I'm surrounded by good friends, and Jane, I really appreciate them. That's why I'm giving a Christmas Eve surprise party tonight for you, Steve, Professor Kropotkin, Mrs. O'Reilly, and Al.
Tonight? Oh, Irma, honey, well, I don't know how to tell you, but...
Tell me what?
Well, dear. Excuse me, honey. Hello? Oh, hello, Steve. What? Yes, I know it's formal. No, I've never been to the Copacabana. Yes, I'm terribly excited. It'll be our first Christmas Eve together since we were kids. I'll be ready. Goodbye, dear.
Jane, you mean you're going out with Steve tonight? What about my Christmas Eve party?
But, honey, you didn't say anything about it, and Steve invited me to a Christmas party at the Copacabana. I'd hate to miss it. All of his friends and show business will be there.
But this is Christmas Eve, and I thought we'd be together. Christmas Eve isn't like other holidays, you know.
I realize that, honey, but...
I could understand if it was Independence Day. Then we wouldn't have to be together. We could be independent.
Oh, Irma, I'm terribly sorry, but there's nothing I can do about it. Steve asked me last week. Anyway, my not being there shouldn't spoil your party. You'll still have Professor Kropotkin, Mrs. O'Reilly, and Al.
I understand, Jane. I still have the others.
Sure. Come in.
It's only me, Professor Kropotkin. How are my two little Christmas trees? One full grown and one a little sapling.
Oh, why, Professor?
Excuse me, a little Yuletide joke. By the way, girls, a Merry Christmas to you both.
Well, Merry Christmas to you, too.
Merry Christmas, Professor.
I hope you'll excuse me for coming down. I don't mean to interrupt, but I wasn't feeling so good. And when I don't feel so good, I always rush out of my room as fast as I can.
Why?
I wouldn't be found dead in that place. Well, girls, do you realize tonight's Christmas Eve?
Yes, and just look at that blanket of snow outside. Isn't it lovely?
That's a matter of opinion. If Mrs. O'Reilly doesn't put glass in my windows, not only will I have a blanket of snow, but I'll have a carpet of the same material.
Irma, you'd better ask the professor about this evening before it's too late.
Well, yes. Professor, will you come to my Christmas Eve party tonight?
Tonight? Oh, Irma, I'm so sorry.
You mean you can't come either?
It can't be helped, Irma. Tonight I'm playing my fiddle at the Gypsy Tea Room. I've been practicing all day.
Well, that's terrible.
I know, but they pay me for it.
Gee, first Jane disappoints me, and now you.
Look, honey, the professor can't help it. He must earn a living. After all, you'll still have Mrs. O'Reilly, and maybe the Martins upstairs. And, of course, there's Al. Come in.
Hello, everybody. Merry Christmas.
The same to you, Mrs. O'Reilly.
Merry Christmas.
Say, Mrs. O'Reilly, that's a beautiful wreath you have got on your door downstairs. But that sign in the middle of it.
You don't like it?
Merry Christmas, lots of cheer. Remember the landlady or you'll freeze next year. To me, it's not a sentimental thought.
Mrs. O'Reilly, I'm giving a big surprise Christmas Eve party tonight for you and Al. Will you come?
Tonight? Oh, Irma, darling, I'm so sorry.
You mean you're busy, too?
Yes. The Martins have invited me to go to Jersey with them, and since they owe me for 4 months' back rent, I can't afford to let them go on a train by themselves.
Oh, this is awful. First Jane turned me down, then the professor, and now you.
Maybe next year, Irma. Merry Christmas and goodbye.
Oh, Jane.
Oh, sweetie, now stop crying. I know you're disappointed, but you should have told us about your party earlier. And besides, you won't be left alone. You bought some food, didn't you?
What do you mean? Of course I bought some food.
Then Al will show up. I'll guarantee it.
Speaking of food, I think I'll go up to my room and have dinner.
Are you cooking, Professor?
No. I take one look at that dump, I sit down, and I eat my heart out. Merry Christmas, girls. And I'm sorry, Irma.
Honey, I'm sorry things turned out this way for you.
That's all right, Jane. At least I found out who my friends are. I'm going to take a shower.
Sweetie, why don't you take a hot bath?
No. If I get in that much hot water and think who my friends are, I'm liable to drown myself.
Come in. Al!
Was that Al's voice I heard? Oh, Al, honey!
Doll, baby, Merry Christmas.
Merry, merry, merry Christmas to you, Al. I'm so glad to see you.
Same here, baby. Give me a great big kiss.
Sure, Al. Oh, Al, you're shivering. How did you get so cold?
Wanted to take the cross-town trolley. But with all that snow on the ground, it took me 4 hours to find a transfer.
Oh, my goodness, look at the time. Steve's going to pick me up in an hour, and I'm not even dressed yet. Aren't you going to take off your coat, Al?
Thanks, Jane, but I'm not staying. Just came in to wish Babe a Merry Christmas. I've got to be on my way. Got a big deal brewing.
Oh, Al!
Baby, it's important.
Oh, you and your deals.
Business is business, baby. I got to be running along.
But I'll be left all alone on Christmas Eve, and Al, I depended on you. My own boyfriend.
Baby, if only I could explain.
Don't bother. None of you must think very much of me if you can leave me all alone on Christmas Eve. Fine friends I have. Goodbye.
Well, how do you like that?
Al, of all the low-down, contemptible, good-for-nothing...
Hold it, Jane. I won't have you saying those things about the girl I love.
I'm not talking about Irma. I mean you. How could you desert her on Christmas Eve? Of all nights. Me, I have to go out with Steve. But you're Irma's only boyfriend.
Jane, I love Irma. And when a man is in love, he's not responsible. He may do strange things. Things he'd never do in his right mind.
What are you talking about?
I went and got a job, like I promised.
You got a job? Al, have you been drinking?
I knew it would shock you, but wanted to make a little dough and buy a chicken a present.
A present? What kind of present?
She wants one of them toasters that pops the bread up. My friend Mushy almost got one for me from a store, But at the wrong time, the manager popped up. So I'll have to get it the hard way.
You mean you're going to work and break 5 years of tradition?
When I was away from Baby, I realized how much she means to me. So now I'll do anything.
Listen, Al, the Christmas carolers.
Gee, that's pretty. I'd like to stay, but I'll start the job tonight. Tell Irma I'll see her tomorrow. Goodbye.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride.
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
It's me, Steve. Jane.
What's wrong, dollface? You sound terrible.
Steve, I can't go with you to the club.
Why not? Are you sick, Jane?
No, Steve, I'm all right. It's just that, well, Irma, you see, well, Irma hasn't any family or relatives in New York, and it's Christmas Eve, and all our friends seem to be busy, and I just couldn't leave her alone, Steve.
I wouldn't want you to.
Are you sure you mean that, Steve?
Sure, honey. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Goodbye and Merry Christmas, Jane.
Merry Christmas, Steve. Al, I thought you left.
Came back for my hat. Didn't mean to eavesdrop, Jane. But if you're willing to give up a good time tonight for Irma, I guess it's my duty to be with Baby, too.
Oh, Al, that would be just wonderful. But what about the present you were going to get for Irma? If you don't work tonight, where will you get the money for it?
I'm going to hock my watch.
But, Al, that's the only thing you own. And you know that no matter how bad times have been, you've always said you would never hawk your watch.
Well, a man like me don't need a watch. I sleep all day, so time is not important, and at night it's too late to do anything.
Come in. Oh, it's you, Professor.
Excuse me, Jane. I have been thinking about poor little Irma, and, well, I decided to give up the job so tonight I could be with Irma.
But, Professor, won't that cost you money? You get big tips during Christmas.
On Christmas Eve, it's not important to make money. It's important to be with friends. After all, what's money?
Well, it's pretty important.
I see you've been talking to Mrs. O'Reilly again. No, my little Irma has no father in New York, so tonight Professor Kropotkin will be her father.
Atta boy, Pop.
Listen, Al, the first chance I get, I'm disinheriting you.
Excuse me, everybody. I took the liberty of walking in.
Why, Mrs. O'Reilly, I thought you were on your way to New Jersey.
I changed my mind. I got to thinking about poor little Irma being all alone tonight, and I just didn't have the heart to go. I'm going to stay here with Irma.
Isn't that wonderful? Professor Kropotkin just said he's going to be her father.
I'll tell you, if that's the case, I'll be her mother.
I've got news for you. If you're the mother, I'll be on the train for Reno in the morning.
Listen, everybody, I've got a wonderful idea. Irma was going to throw a surprise party for us. Now we'll throw one for her. We'll give her the best Christmas a girl ever had.
Swell. I'll go out and hawk my watch and buy the present.
I'll go get my violin.
We can have the party in my apartment. It's bigger. Come along, Janie. We'll start decorating. Oh, it'll be a merry Christmas. Come on, Professor. Take my arm.
A fair swap. She's been taking my blood all year.
Oh, wait until Irma finds out. She'll be the happiest girl in New York.
Do you need a little something to warm you up and spice up your holiday spirit? Or perhaps a break from all the busy Christmas shopping? Well then, make Santa's sleigh suds a gift to yourself. Slide into a steaming hot bath salted with Santa's sleigh suds and unwind with the aroma of cinnamon or peppermint, orange peel, spiced apple, sugar cookie, or Fraser fir. But you can be bold. Mix them all together and smell like potpourri. These long-lasting bubbles will warm you through and through. It's a shame we can't share any with Irma right now.
Next, where to, miss?
Please, miss, what's the fare to Minneapolis?
$58 round trip.
$58? I only have six. Where can I go for $6?
$6, let me see. How about Niagara Falls?
Oh, I couldn't go to Niagara Falls. I'm not even married. I'll find some other place to go. Merry Christmas.
Well, we're down in Mrs. O'Reilly's room. The professor, Al, and myself. Al is beaming proudly. Come January the 1st, he will have completed a solid 6 years of steady unemployment. I'm setting the table, and Mrs. O'Reilly is out trying to find a Christmas tree.
Oh, me aching feet. I've walked all over, and I can't find a Christmas tree.
Did you see Irma anywhere in the neighborhood?
No, I didn't. But it's nothing to worry about. We must get the tree before she gets back.
Tree? There's only one man who can help us.
Who, Al?
Who else but... Hello, Joe. Got a problem. Need a Christmas tree right away. What? I can get one at Macy's already trimmed for a dime? Oh, the dime is for a glass cutter. The tree is in the window. No, Joe. This is Christmas Eve. When I hear jingle bells, I don't want them on a patrol wagon. What, Joe? You're playing Santa Claus tonight? Going down the chimney? Joe, this is quite a change for you, ain't it? Oh, you're going with an empty bag and coming out with a full one. Well, Joe, nothing I can say except good luck and Merry Christmas.
Oh, Al, what are we going to do? It's getting so late. This must be Irma. Let's surprise her. Stand over there. Let's put out all the lights and give her a big kiss.
Come in.
Merry Christmas, honey.
Here's one for me.
Me too, my darling doctor.
For Pete's sake, will someone please put on the lights?
Steve!
I thought Irma needed a shave.
Steve, we didn't expect you. I thought you went to the Copacabana.
I couldn't take it. Same old crowd, same old monotony. So I realized that I'd rather be here with some real people on Christmas Eve. Where's Irma?
Well, she thought we were all deserting her, so she went off in a huff. And that's why we're throwing a surprise party for her. We're waiting for her to come back.
We don't want to find Irma until we get a Christmas tree, though. Got any ideas, Steve?
Why don't we all go out and buy one?
Nice gesture, Steve. We'll wait here for you.
Oh, Steve, you don't have to.
It's my pleasure, Jane. I saw several on the way over. I'll have one in a few minutes. Be right back.
And I'll get the cake out of the oven.
And I'll make some punch.
And I'll tell you when it's right. Hey, Jane, what are you crying about? The party's taking form.
I know, and it's so wonderful having everyone pitch in. Steve's getting a tree, and all of you giving up things. Oh, this is the most wonderful Christmas I've ever had.
Look, lady, this is your third round trip on this ferry boat. Ain't you got a home? Ain't you got any friends?
No.
Well, take my advice. Make some.
All right, I'll try. Thank you, and a Merry Christmas to you.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, away.
Sleigh!
Oh, what fun it is to ride.
On a sleigh!
On a one-horse open.
Hold it, folks. Hold it. Look, lady. We're Christmas carolers. We don't do this for a living, but we enjoy it. And we rehearse a great deal. We don't mind you joining us, but we like to have the sleigh come after the horse.
I'm sorry.
Okay, fellas, let's do it again.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride.
When the horse comes after the sleigh.
Look, lady, would you mind running along?
Oh, all right. I was just lonely. Merry Christmas.
Pardon me, lady. Have you a dime for a cup of coffee?
Yes, poor man. And a Merry Christmas. Maybe you ought to have another dime for a donut.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, dear. I don't have any change.
Oh, would you like me to break that five for you?
If you don't mind. Are you all alone in New York, too?
Yes. How about you?
I'm from Minnesota.
Oh, Minnesota. How well I know that place. You know, you look very familiar.
I do? My name is Peterson.
Oh, of course. You're Peterson's little daughter.
My father's name is George.
Oh, let me think. Peterson. Say, that must be George Peterson.
How did you know?
Well, I remember you used to live in
Minneapolis.
Yeah, let me see. George Peterson, Minneapolis. That's the place. Never forget a man.
Well, it's so nice to meet old friends, especially when you're lonely. You can keep the $5, sir.
Oh, thank you. But this is only a loan. I'll return it the next time I see your father. Good old Fred Petersburg in Wisconsin. Bye.
No, no. It's Peterson in Minnesota. Oh, mister. Mister.
Al, we've walked for miles. Perhaps we'd better go home and call the police to look for Irma.
Maybe you're right, Jane.
Pardon me, bud. You got a dime? Oh, Al, it's you. Got that quarter you owe me?
Bugsy, ain't you got no character? How can you panhandle on Christmas Eve?
Great pickings tonight. I just got a fin from a blonde. Told her I knew her old man, Peterville, or Peterson in Minnesota.
Peterson! Al!
Bugsy, which way did you go?
Cross town. You know her?
Why? What's the difference?
I've been feeling like a crumb ever since I clipped her. Seemed like such a nice kid. Would you give her back this fin? Thanks. And Merry Christmas.
Hey, bud. Got a dime for a cup of coffee?
Come on, Al. Let's go home and call the police. Now I'm really getting panicky.
All right, Jane. I'm with you.
Look, lady. I've seen that picture. It's a Wonderful Life. Now you get off this bridge.
I was just looking at the water, Mr. Watchman.
Look, lady. Don't look down there. Everything that's beautiful is up here. It's Christmas Eve, you know.
Yes, I know. And I'm so lonely.
I get it. You're all alone, huh?
Yes.
Any friends?
Yes, but my closest friends are far away.
Don't cry, sister. You're coming home with me. We ain't got much, but we're happy to share it.
Hey, Bill.
Yes, Sergeant?
Did you happen to see a blonde girl? Say, lady, what's your name?
Irma Peterson.
That's all we want to know. Come along, sister.
I didn't do it. I didn't do it.
Didn't do what?
I don't know. But my boyfriend always says to say you didn't do it.
Now look, Janie, we've got to be brave. Now it's up to the police. They'll find her, but we've got to take our minds off of it. Mrs. O'Reilly, would you care to dance?
Oh, I'd love to.
I'll dance with her. I'll play the fiddle. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
How do you like that? I just started playing and already the neighbors got the police here.
No, it's a squad car pulling up. I think it's Irma.
My baby.
Oh, Al, it's Irma. The police have found her. She's coming up the steps. Quick, turn out the lights, everybody. Come on, we can still surprise her and have the party.
Come in, dearie.
Irma, darling.
Surprise, baby. Here's a big kiss for you.
And here's a kiss from your father.
Why, Professor.
Quick, turn on the lights. I'm dying. I just kissed Mrs. O'Reilly.
Irma, darling, Merry Christmas. Where have you been?
You're all here. I thought no one loved me, and I felt so alone.
Oh, honey, don't you know that people always spend Christmas Eve with their loved ones, and you're the one we love the most?
Exactly my sentiments.
Bless my little Irma. You're like me own daughter.
Sure, baby. I'd never leave you. I want to spend all my Christmas Eves with you.
Oh, this is the best Christmas a girl ever had, surrounded by her friends. Oh, it's midnight. Is that right, Al?
Wait a minute. I'll look at my watch.
Al, why are you going to the window?
My watch happens to be across the street. You're right, baby. It's 12 o'clock. Merry Christmas, baby.
Merry Christmas, Al. And Merry Christmas, Professor Kropotkin, Mrs. O'Reilly, Steve, Jane, and all our friends. Merry, Merry Christmas.
And as for me, my sentiments are the same as those of my friend Irma.
Well, I don't know about you, but I sure am glad that Irma got her Christmas party after all. And, as it turns out, Irma got some Santa sleigh suds this year, too. What do you think of them, Irma?
Oh, I just love them. I use them all the time.
You do?
Oh, yes. I like to take a nice long bath, then I put some in my dishwasher.
Your dishwasher?
Well, sure. Then all my dishes taste like peppermint.
Irma!
Yes, Jane?
I prefer cinnamon. Now let's let these nice folks get back to their show.
Yes, Jane. Merry Christmas, Mr. Announcer.
Yes. Merry Christmas, Irma. And to all of our listeners, stay tuned for the Gift of the Magi, right after this message from our sponsors. Santa's Sleigh Suds Bath Salts bring you the Alexander Radio Theater Christmas Special today. The ultimate bath salts for warming every wintertime home. Santa's Sleigh Suds make the perfect gift for that hard-to-shop-for loved one. And they're always reasonably priced. But before you go out and buy a box, let's continue our program with a Christmas favorite, the Gift of the Magi. Today we're going back to a Christmas Eve in the 19th century. O. Henry's story of the true Christmas spirit of love and sacrifice, the Gift of the Magi. It will be brought to you by the Alexander Radio Theater.
$1.87. That was all. And 60 cents of it was in pennies. Pennies saved one and two at a time. Della counted it for the third time.
$1.83, $1.84, $1.85, $1.86, $1.87.
Was still the same. And the next day would be Christmas. $1.87 with which to buy a present for Jim. Her Jim. There was clearly nothing to do but flop down on the shabby little couch and howl. So Della did it. While Della's sniffles are gradually subsiding, take a look at the vestibule below, where you will see on the letterbox a card bearing the name Mr. James Dillingham Young. The Dillingham had been flung to the breeze during a former period of prosperity when its possessor was being paid $30 per week. Now, when the income was shrunk to $20, the letters of Dillingham looked blurred, as though they were thinking seriously of contracting to a modest and unassuming D. But whenever Mr. James Dillingham Young came home and reached his flat above, he was called Jim, and greatly hugged by Mrs. James Dillingham Young. That's Della. She has now finished her cry and is looking into the pier glass, attending to her cheeks with the powder rag. Suddenly, as she stands before the glass, she pulls down her hair and lets it fall to its full length. Now, there were two possessions of the James Dillingham Youngs in which they both took a mighty pride. One was Jim's gold watch that had been his father's and his grandfather's. The other was Della's hair, which now ripples about her, shining like a cascade of brown waters and reaching below her knee. Her eyes are brilliant, but her face has lost its color. Nervously and quickly, she does her hair up again, slips into her old brown jacket, puts on her old brown hat, and in the twinkling of an eye, she is halfway down the stairs and out on the street. Della has a determined, almost desperate look as she sights a sign reading, Madame Sofronie, hair goods of all kinds. She stops quickly, then opens the door, which leads to a flight of stairs. Della rushes, panting, up the stairs and plumb into the portly figure of Madame Sofronie.
Will you buy my hair?
I buy hair. Take your hat off. Let's have a sight at the looks of it.
Down ripples the brown cascade.
$20.
All right. Only quickly, please.
In a few moments, the implacable Madame Sofronie and her scissors have done the job, and Della, minus her hair, but richer by $20, flees from the store into the street again. This time, she's looking for a different store, a store in which to buy, not to sell. At last, she finds herself in a department store in the midst of a merry holiday throng. At the jewelry counter, As she longingly handles a platinum chain, she hesitatingly asks,
"You did say $21, didn't you?" "Yes, that's what I thought."
"This is it. This is the present just made for Jim and no one else. There's no other like it in any of the stores. She knows, for she turned all of them inside out. It's a platinum fob chain, simple and chaste in design. Della has made her mind up."
"I'll take it."
With the chain wrapped in a holiday box and clutched in her eager hand, Della finds herself again out on the street. But this time she is in such a rosy glow she hardly notices the other last-minute shoppers hurrying by. The street trio playing Christmas carols, the old gentleman who tries to sell her a holly wreath. It seems but seconds until she is back in the little furnished flat again. There's a sudden shock as the pier glass confronts her, this time accusingly. Now comes the moment of reckoning, as she gazes with dismay at the short ends of her hair. The rosy glow gives way to prudence and reason. Out comes the curling iron, on with the gas jet, as she sets to work repairing the ravages made by generosity and love. In 40 minutes, she finishes, with the last curl lying tiny and close to her head, making her look wonderfully like a truant schoolboy. But to Della, gazing critically at herself in the pier glass, the result is anything but wonderful.
"If Jim doesn't kill me first, he'll say I look like a Coney Island chorus girl."
Oh, but no more time for reflections, physical or mental. It's nearly 7, and Jim is never late. She sits nervously, waiting for Jim. Now she hears his step on the stair way down on the first flight. She has a habit of saying silent little prayers about the simplest everyday things. And now she whispers,
"Please, God, make him not mind my hair so much. Make him think I'm still pretty."
The door opens, and Jim steps in and closes it. He has a smile of welcome on his face as he glances around the room for Della, but the smile freezes on his lips as he suddenly sees her sitting on the corner of the table. An expression comes into his eyes as immovable as a setter dog at the scent of quail. The expression terrifies Della, who is expecting anger, surprise, disapproval, or even horror, but not this look of... Della wriggles off the table and goes to him.
"Jim, darling, don't look at me that way. I had my hair cut off and sold because I couldn't have lived through Christmas without giving you a present. It'll grow again. You won't mind, will you? I just had to do it. My hair grows awfully fast. Say Merry Christmas, Jim, and let's be happy. And wait till you see the beautiful gift I got you."
Della rattled on like that, but after she was all through, all Jim could ask laboriously was,
"You've cut off your hair?"
Della tried again, this time more patiently.
"Sold, I tell you. Sold and gone, too. And it went for you, Jim. Maybe the hairs of my head were numbered, but nobody could ever count my love for you. Now, shall we have supper?"
At last, Jim seems to wake out of his trance. He enfolded Della in his arms, and then he carefully draws a package from his overcoat pocket and throws it on the table. Nimble fingers quickly tear open the string and paper, and then...
"Oh, Jim! Oh, they're beautiful! How did you know? They're what I've always wanted. My hair. Oh, Jim, how can I wear them?"
There they lay, the combs, the set Della had worshipped for so long in an exclusive shop window. Pure tortoiseshell, with jeweled rims, just the shade to wear in the beautiful and vanished hair. They were expensive combs, Della knew, and her heart had craved and yearned over them without the least hope of possession. And now, Della hugs them to her and looks up at Jim with dim eyes and a smile.
"My hair grows so fast, Jim."
Then Della put the combs down carefully, lovingly, and even more radiantly prepares to show Jim his gift. She holds it out to him eagerly on outstretched palm. The dull, precious metal gleams and glows, entirely satisfied with its own value.
Isn't it a beauty, Jim? You'll have to look at the time every 15 minutes now. Give me your watch. I want to see how it looks with the chain.
For answer, Jim sits down suddenly on the couch.
Dale,
he says,
let's put our Christmas presents away and keep them a while. I sold the watch to get the money to buy your combs. And now, how about supper?
The Magi, as you know, were wise men who brought gifts to the babe in the manger. They invented the art of giving Christmas presents. Being wise, their gifts were no doubt wise ones, possibly bearing the privilege of exchange in case of duplication. And here I have lamely related to you the uneventful chronicle of two foolish children in a flat who most unwisely sacrificed for each other the greatest treasure of their house. But in a last word to the wise of these days, let it be said that of all who give gifts, these two were the wisest. Of all who give and receive gifts, these foolish ones were the wisest. They are the Magi.
Thanks to the generous sponsorship of Santa's Sleigh Suds, makers of the finest bath salts that were never available, you have just heard O. Henry's Gift of the Magi, which was brought to you by the Alexander Radio Theater. The original recording by the Coronet Little Show aired December 19, 1943. Our production starred Kathy LaPelli as Della, Jeff Moose as Jim, Elizabeth Hawes as Madame Sofroni, and Lynn LaPelli as the storyteller. My Friend Irma was created by Cy Howard. Park Levy wrote the script with Stanley Adams and Roland McLean. It was originally broadcast on December 25, 1950. Our production starred Laura Crooks as Irma, Dawn Herzog as Jane, Micah Henry as Professor Kropotkin, Don Benfield as Al and Sarge, Lynn LaPelli as Bugsy, Kay Henry as Mrs. O'Reilly, Randy Bryant as Steve, Elizabeth Hawes as the ticket taker, Jeff Moose as the captain, and the watchman, and Kathy LaPelli as Merrill. Sound effects were created or collected by the cast, and music was used royalty-free. Full credits will appear on the Alexander County Library website. The Alexander Radio Theater is brought to you by the Alexander Community Theater, the Alexander County Library, and Apple City Broadcasting. This is Glenn Mays, your announcer, inviting you to tune in next month for another Alexander Radio Theater production. Take your time as you head back to the present day. Enjoy the view. And don't miss the little things of today that will be tomorrow's treasures.